Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach. Hey, so glad to be here. So glad to be on the wind down of the day. We made it through the day. How about? Hopefully that means that the shrines have been tended to. That means that your fast was successful. It means you were able to maintain your white. What I know for a fact, on Wednesday, there always seems to be a little bit of a try-up for me. There's always seems to be somebody or something out there to challenge me, challenge my good character. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, there's always something going on for Wednesday. And because they know come Wednesday, I'm going to really, really attempt to be on my bestest of behaviors. So hopefully everyone was able to successfully make it through whatever challenge that you're supposed to be going through. And so, yeah, and we come together on Wednesday evening to kind of exhale with each other. You know, let's relax with each other. Let's help each other. How about let's you know, usually, I'm going to say 99.9% of the time, the programs are spiritually led, which means spirit's about to come in here and educate us on some things. And it's wonderful to have that benefit. It's also a little challenging when you know, if this particular topic is difficult for you, then you're about to get it. You're about to get your test. And I can tell you, most people don't enjoy tests. No one wants to be tested and tried up, whatever. But I promise you, the test is how you get out of it. The test is how you say, hey, look, I've done my studying. I have been successful in whatever you had to be successful in. And now I'm ready to move past these challenges and move forward in a different way. Move forward challenge-free. How about that? So we got to get through the test. Once you are past that test, you know, you get to pop your collar a little bit and be like, yo, I made it out of my test. And then you look at other people like, hey, you know, I can help you. I can help you. I can help you get out of that. So I wanted to share with everybody. So last week we had Sorry Buttercup. Oh, I loved the show. It was an awesome show. It directly addressed the idea of Suck It Up Buttercup. And we have to address it. We have to get out of the idea of being snippy with people when they're in pain. We have to get out of the idea of utilizing that time to say, I told you so. Take that out of your vocabulary. If you want to be a healer and you want to be in a healing organization, go ahead and take I told you so out of your vocabulary, period. Because I told you so has never helped anybody. And it was a great show. We had quite a few people call in and share their Sorry Buttercup idea. You know, how do we go about dealing with these situations with a little bit more compassion? How do we go, even if we're like, man, that's easy, just stop. You know, I remember back in the day, Nancy Reagan, that's just how old I am, Nancy Reagan had this war on drugs, and she came up with this saying, and she did an interview with Whitney Houston, and Whitney Houston, who was high at the moment, said, crack is whack. And that was like, everybody was so mad because it's like, how are you going to minimize something that's killing people? How are you going to just sit here and minimize something that is wiping people off the block? You just whack? So let's have a little bit more empathy for our fellow brothers and sisters and really begin to say, and we came up on a program with some things to say outside of Suck It Up Buttercup. And it was wonderful because we got to be solution-oriented. Now, I'm not always solution-oriented. Sometimes we just have to present a problem. But this, it felt so good because I felt like, okay, we have an opportunity now not only to expose a problem, but to give you some answers for it. And lo and behold, this week I have had two situations where that suck it up. I mean, when it was, I'm rough, y'all. I am rough. I am an Oma Oya, and I don't play around, okay? And so twice already this week I've had to kind of bite that tongue back a little bit and really get to the point where I'm not being dismissive of someone's pain. I'm really empathizing with this person and trying to be there as much as I could, right? So it was a wonderful program. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it live, you can always go to A Wonderful Approach, the Facebook page, or wonderfulapproach.com and check it out. It's definitely worth looking into. And then we had our Thursday program with Deej's Cafe, and that was so wonderful. She had a phenomenal young man on the line, and he shared his journey of entrepreneurship and being a single dad, being a widowed dad, and so a widowed father. And it was powerful. It was very powerful to hear his journey and his determination to be all that he could for his children and for his community. And so she's always presenting us with amazing people and amazing people that are doing amazing things. I'm like, you just have these people in your Rolodex, you know? And so it was wonderful to get that with her and have that and to listen to it. And then also I've sent out the little blurb about upcoming weekend. We are a week and a half away. I am so excited. I'm looking forward to seeing people. I'm looking forward to getting my virtual hugs in person. You know, there's so much positive going on. Now, there's some other stuff going on, too. The block is hot. The block is hot. But there's so much positive. I remember having a conversation with my father, and he was telling me, you know, during the Depression is when, you know, so many millionaires are made. And I'm like, doesn't depression mean no money, you know? And, you know, he was just explaining that even when there's times where it seems there's no money, there's still opportunity. And that's how I look at hard times. I'm like, what is the opportunity? Even if the opportunity is, hey, let's spend some time getting back with each other. Let's spend some time. I remember speaking about the housing crises, the food crises. We've been in crises, okay? And how all of this is like, hey, we got this, though. I see an opportunity for us to build together, you know? I'm always going to look for the win, period. I'm looking for wonderful. I'm looking for a wonderful approach. And so this is how we make this thing happen. But today, we got to talk about, and this is an interesting program, okay, because I want to talk about humility. I want to talk about what it's like to be in a humble state. But I want to speak about the same energy. Stay with me. When you're swimming with the sharks, though, how are you going to be humble and swim with the sharks? How are you going to be in business and be in an aggressive environment? And I say sharks, swimming with the sharks, because sharks are aggressive, super aggressive. But I wouldn't necessarily call them evil. They're animals. They have basics, you know. You look at this human and be like, oh, those things are evil. You see what they – mm-mm, that doesn't mean they're evil. It just means that they're aggressive. How do you do that? And I'm hoping that I was able to get my dear sister Khadija from Deej's Cafe to be able to come on as she presses one. There are a lot of people on the line, family. Wonderful. Glad to see that. Let's get into how do we handle aggressive energy, okay? Let me see. Is this my dear sister? Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Greetings. How are you this evening?
Oh, excited. I am very excited. I am looking forward to having this conversation with you. When Spirit asked me to speak about this, I was like, there's only one person I really want to do this with. And so I'm glad through all of your different schedules you were able to get us in there. Take a minute or two to introduce yourself. Everyone hears me reference you, and hopefully we'll be able to see you soon. But let us know, who are you? Who do you consider yourself to be?
Oh, Khadija, right? And this is a topic that's heavy to the heart. My name is Khadija Seward. I am humbly an advocate for those who don't have a voice in business and education. That's just a quick sum up. My goal has always been, I want to say for the past 25 years in business, has been to build a line of communication between business and urban America, specifically those in urban America who don't have a voice, who need a voice, who have a voice but don't know how to speak it. I'm a mom of eight, a homeschooler, and a business coach. So that's kind of that's the skinny, I guess you can say.
I don't think it's skinny, but you can say it's so much. Okay, so number one, the mom of eight. We need to say that again, the mom of eight. And you don't look stressed out. Every time I see you, you smiling and grinning. I'm sitting here like, are you serious, sis? Are you serious? mom of eight.
I'm a mom of eight.
And an incredible homeschooler. That comes with a lot more work than I realized.
That's the best part of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, a lot more work. Oh, a lot more. And then you're this entrepreneur. You're this very savvy business coach. And you are these things, what I would call gently. You know, you are not, I don't think that you are aggressive. I don't think that you beat people over the head. I don't think that you are disrespectful. I mean, for you to have the successes, but yet still have this very beautiful, genuine personality, I'm like, how are you doing that? How are you doing that? And so I want to talk and share, because within A Wonderful Approach, we have a lot of entrepreneurs. I mean, within A Wonderful Approach, I think 80% of us, which is high, have some kind of side business or full-time business or just multiple streams of income. They're doing so creatively. They're doing so with services, product services. I mean, and I am a big advocate for this. We need to be doing this. But how do we do this without kind of, for lack of a better word, selling your soul?
And it's interesting you ask that, because, I have struggled because I refuse to do just that. And thank you so much for the compliment. I give you a virtual hug, because you sometimes are a loner. You're the weird one, oddball. You're the one that, she's fake and phony, because sincerity can sometimes be covered with phoniness, because sincerity is not received well by some. And when you step out into this realm, understanding that humility is going to always be there, you do it first and foremost because I answer to a higher power.
Amen.
So, and understanding that I'm always being viewed by my creator, I know that I'm never sneaking, right? Obviously, it did not happen, and that understanding didn't happen, years ago. It took years of experience, but I think my background in insurance claims, believe it or not, is what strengthened my humanity. It strengthened my humility. Being cursed at every day by maybe 15, 20, 25 people because their car has a dent on it or because there's water in their basement. And you didn't do it, but it's your obligation and your responsibility to make sure that these people are happy at the end of the day. So mm-hmm. how do you do that? How do you take these angry people that you didn't make angry? How do you make them happy?
Right.
And it gave me my strength and humility because I had to learn how to understand it's not about me. And mm-hmm. and that's the foundation of the humility and dealing with the sharks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the one that, it, you know, I'm out here and even those people who are too aggressive and who may have some ill feelings towards you or some ill intentions, mm-hmm. When you realize that they want it to be their show and you give it their show and you take a step in the background and watch them, you learn
mm-hmm.
all of the key when with the shark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By watching.
Absolutely. And then understanding sharks are attracted to certain things. Sharks aren't going after everything. There's a certain movement. There's a certain paddle. There's a certain something that's going to alert a shark that there's prey close by. Everything does not attract sharks, okay? And so one thing I want people to understand is that, you know, if you feel like you're swimming with sharks, chances are you're in the water, you know. That means you are reaching a certain level, and this is the level that sharks live at. Once you leave the comfort of the shore, chances are you hit that 3 feet. There is a possibility that there could be some of that sharky behavior out there. And I don't breathe water, so I'm already at a disadvantage, you know. So when you're swimming with sharks, I know for me, I have a very clear understanding as to what I'm doing in this water. I have morals and I have standards. And that doesn't change from shallow water to deep water. The second I get into deep water, I'm not going to switch it up. Who I am on the shore is who I am in 2 feet. That's who I am in 10 feet. That I have to be clear about that.
It's so interesting you say that because, you know, being in corporate sometimes, you're in such an environment where diversity is not always felt, right? So
correct.
Not that you're necessarily in the water always with sharks, but majority of the time you're it's big business, so it has to have its shark atmosphere and environment for it to be big business. I'm just a firm believer of it. But, you know, you have to be able to understand that you put your shoes on and you put your pants on the same way the sharks do. The key is, said, how are you going to stay grounded as the sharks swim around? Are you going to make a decision where your morals are going to be in question? Honestly, that old saying, can you go home to mama and say, I did this and I'm okay.
Right.
Am I going to sell someone out? Am I going to backstab? Am I going to backbite? Right. In situations where maybe not even just sitting there and being quiet, but giving everyone and the energy in the room, I'm not staying amongst that, right?
Correct.
That energy of tearing people apart, tearing situations, tearing programs, tearing businesses, whatever you're going to do that a shark would do, understanding that this is not energy for me and I'm leaving if it doesn't stop. I've done that. I've left opportunities
to
walk away from money because of it.
Yep. I think you have to be willing to. I think you have to walk into the door being okay with the outcome, but always knowing that I got to live with me. I have to live with me. I have to live with the decisions I made. So this money, if it's not good for me, I'm going to walk away from it. You know, this situation, this unit, whatever this is, if this is not serving me in a positive manner, I'm going to walk away from it because I have to maintain me, you know, and I really, it concerns me because spiritually, I know this is a lesson for somebody. Somebody's about to deal with this or is actively dealing with this. And and they have to know, and trust me, if you're in business, you're dealing with it, whether you're aware of it or not. If you are around more than three or four people and you're not blood related to them, you're dealing with this, whether you realize it, whether you wish to acknowledge it or not. And that's why we have to understand how to do this humbly. That's a tool. Remember the toolbox. And the right tool makes easy work. So how are we going to utilize the humble aspect so that we can pull them up whenever we need them?
The word empathy. We can start with empathy, right? You know, always putting yourself in the position of the other person, even when we're right. That's easy, right? So you're in a situation, you know you're 100% right, but in expressing it, you may hurt a feeling, you may embarrass someone. Even you can benefit from it. There's a way to benefit and not demean the other party.
Absolutely. And I think in order to really, really have the opportunity where you can say, I considered this person, I considered their feelings, I considered their how they may perceive this, I held them in a moment so that I can make sure that as I'm moving forward, I did so with the right energy. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful approach. Let go of I told you so. Let go of please. that it serves you no purpose. It serves you no purpose, even in hostile environments. So if you're with a shark, right? We're not sharks. We are not sharks. We're children of God. We're not sharks, okay?
Right.
But when we start trying to act like sharks, that's going to send a signal to the other, to the real sharks. And now we have a whole problem because they're defensive, they're this, they're that. That's not even our lane. We don't even belong there.
Correct.
We're there to offer another opinion, another thought, another possibility, but we don't have ownership over with the sharks.
Why do we even want that energy? Right? Because it's unfamiliar and it does not feel good or easy, right? Something that's not easy is not everything that's difficult is not good.
Correct.
And, a lot of times we get into this mode of it kill us, it makes us stronger, right? Sometimes there are things out there that are difficult, and there's a reason why they're difficult, and that's that intuition, as you were saying, spirit, creator, angels, whatever you're using to guide, right? That's giving you that knock, saying, these pants, put those pants on the side of, passing that buckle, that and it's just like, you know they need to go off and to go to the good world. Don't even try it. You have no business here.
Yes. You know, I want to share with you, when we go, there's a little island, part of the Gullah Geechee Islands called Sapelo that we've been to many, many times. And when you go with Mother Eagle Ministries, there's a tour. And there's this one spot that you could tell some of the indigenous people of that land, they left markings not to touch. And there's a natural barrier there of sticky briars. And then the other things that stick to you. And then there's a flower that has a really foul smell. You know, what? There's like three or four layers of natural barriers to stop you from going there. And every single time I find people that will climb over these barriers to get there. And I'm sitting here as we're picking sticky briars out, of our long flowing skirts and everything. And as mm-hmm. we're trying to get all this stuff taken care of, I'm like, what part of natural barriers did you totally ignore?
Correct.
They talk about red flags, and I'm like, this is not, these are green flags, okay? These are things to say, go, don't go, and we're steady trying to be where we know we don't belong.
Correct. And, you know, that saying where I can go wherever I want to go, right? I belong wherever I want. Well, if that were the case, then we would all be robots, right? We would exactly the same because we would all belong in the exact same place.
Yep. With the exact same needs. Exact mm-hmm. same everything. And we know that's so not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God takes the time to make over 300 species of birds. Each bird has about 10 or 15 different types of feathers on it, each bird. So they have feathers mm-hmm. by their eyes, very short. Then they have the down to keep them warm. Then they have feathers to fly. They got all kinds. And so that's a lot of feathers. So if God is going to go through the trouble of making all these birds and all these feathers, I think he made us to be individuals as well.
And to benefit from the fact that we are. Right?
Absolutely.
The fact that, for example, you know, as in nature, if certain animals don't do certain things, we don't get certain products.
That's right.
So every animal doesn't do the same thing. What a bee does,
Absolutely. A
squirrel can't do, right? A bear can't do, a snake can't do. So,
I totally agree.
You know, but that snake piece, the shark, oh my goodness, Khadija, when you spoke of that, it was so impactful because it took years of me understanding that people getting over the shark, quote unquote, getting over or benefiting from me was not the negative.
Correct.
Sometimes afterwards we feel hurt or we feel bothered or injured because we think that, oh, well, man, I didn't see the shark and it got too much. No, it's not the case. A lot of times what has happened is you have now seen this is a shark. And you don't have any questions as to whether or not it's a shark or not.
Right.
Wherein had you not been bitten by that shark or the shark had not gotten over on you once, you may not have made it out of life.
Right. You may have made a bigger investment.
Correct.
You know, you may have allowed yourself to go even deeper into the water, which, of course, as we now know, is dangerous. And so, absolutely, it's always a blessing. And a lot of times what I see is that people will beat themselves up. Oh, I should have known. I remember, this is crazy, we were in the water. It was me and Sister Nicole, and we were getting ready. We were doing some baptisms, and this was her first time in the water with me, and we were trying to get situated because the water could be tricky. And about 2 feet, I mean, it wasn't far, 2 feet from us, we saw a fin go by. And she's like, I'm on 7. Yeah, there's a fin. I said, okay, well, if it's a shark, it's too late, and if it's a dolphin, he'll mind his business. And she's looked at me like, if it's a shark, I was like, we're here. We have good intentions. If the shark is going to eat us, he's going to eat us, okay? And I said, we just got to focus on what we're doing. And she's like, okay. And when I say we didn't see it anymore after that, it was nothing even to worry about after that. But there it was right there.
Hmm.
And so, like I said, it's better to assume that the shark is right there than to allow it to catch you by surprise.
Correct.
Assume that. And when you said, you know, oh, you feel bad, you know, people, you know, no one wants to feel got, you know, and I understand that. At the same time, you know, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're not going to get got.
Correct.
If you are focusing on self, you will not have to deal with the repercussions of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, no. Focus on what you're doing, you know. And I truly believe that there was divine protection on us as we're out here trying to help people get ready for their new life and everything else like that, and didn't see the fin anymore. That was it.
So we were doing good.
We were doing good work. We were focusing on self. We were being our authentic selves. We weren't out here trying to pretend like we're sharks or try to pretend like we're dolphins. We were doing the work that we were set up to do. And so in the midst of that, we were allowed the protection of that. So when we're dealing with children, and you deal with children a lot, I know that you have the Gen Zs. You know, you have a number of programs, swimming clubs, homeschooling organizations. You have a number of programs and organizations that are catered towards children, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when one of them speaks, you allow them, I love it because I've heard you and I've heard them, you allow them a certain level of grace because they're children, you know? And I've seen it in you and I've heard it and I've done it myself, and I encourage other people to do it. And in the middle of that, though, they get that grace and that protection and that patience because they're children. They're in the lane of a child. They're speaking from which a child comes from. So even if they say something incorrect, we can adjust them like they are children, which is patiently with love, care, and concern. But the second you start trying to be grown, trying to be an adult, you want to sit with the at the big table, you don't get those same graces. You know what I'm saying? So when I ask people not to be a shark, I don't want you – you know, sharks have very thick skin. Sharks are – you know, sharks are sharks. They're prepared for that water. Those teeth are – sharks, they can bite themselves and be like, yeah, okay – they bite us, we're going down. So what I'm saying is allow yourself the grace that comes with being a child of God rather than trying to be a shark. Because we don't have the same protection that shark have. Shark have plenty of protection.
Correct.
Every time they bite something, they're losing all these teeth. If I buy something and lose a teeth, I'm going to be at soup real soon, okay? I don't have that kind of protection built into me. Their stomachs, they're eating, you know, car tags. They eat whatever they want to eat because their stomach is set up to do that. If I drink too much milk, we have a whole different situation. My stomach's not set up on that. I don't have those protections.
Correct.
So
and
when we're
– that.
Go ahead. Say it again.
Do you really want those protections, right? Because we talk about that. Us who have been injured and have trauma, right? And that's what happens, right? All of those bites from the shark have built up protections that now we have to take the layers off just to feel again.
Yes.
Stay away from the water. Stay away from that section of the water together.
And so... And we're talking about sharks in our literal sense, but I want you to know that you may have sharks with you, and it has nothing to do with water. You may have aggressive energies around you, and it has everything to do with who you are and what you're doing. And you've got to learn how to maneuver around. See, the title is Wind Swimming with Sharks. Chances are there's going to come a time very soon where we're going to be around aggressive energy. It doesn't have to be negative. It could just be aggressive. And you have to know how to maintain who you are, period. Don't switch up, family.
It's a must. It's a must. And that's what I was saying about the claims adjuster experience, because like you said, it was negative energy. These people didn't mean to be mean. They were just angry and upset with the situation that they were in. But it was my obligation to switch up, right? I had to make it all And what happens is the majority of the time, I made a post, I think, about a week ago about that positive stream of energy. Keep it flowing, right? That heavy, heavy, heavy positive energy flow, if you're in it, you're enjoying it, you're experiencing good things and positivity is coming, keep going. Don't stop. Don't let
Correct.
That negative interrupt it. Have your mm-hmm. flow so strong, that flow. I keep going back to water, Khadija. I don't know what it is. but keep the stream going such that if the negativity comes, it's going to wash it right away because your
Correct.
Stream is so strong and so heavy. And we've all had those days where we've gotten up and we've just felt that good, right?
Right.
That awesome
right.
day that something tries to knock you off.
So I want to get, and you can always tell me when I'm getting too personal with you, mm-hmm. but, you know, this is a wonderful approach. We're pretty transparent, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So I know I love all the Khadijahs, you know. Anytime I meet a Khadijah, I'd be like, yeah, right, or like, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So you are a Muslimina, and you wear the traditional head covering all the time. Usually would like it within a wonderful approach when we're doing ceremony, we'll wear our hair covered. There's certain times and places where our hair is always covered, but we don't on a regular basis. And
mm-hmm.
For a woman who has her hijab on, you're still in business. You're still active in your business. You, this is not to have judgment anywhere, but, you know, I know mm-hmm. there are some people that kind of take it off for corporate. You know, this is my mm-hmm. second set of locks. I took my first set off for corporate. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get a job. I don't know how it's going to. So that was adjustment I made for corporate. And mm-hmm. I have so much respect for you and for other women that choose to cover all the time. Because that's not an easy thing to do when you are in America and when you are in, I would say, other energies, you know, not spiritual, not Muslim, not cultural, you know, those other energies, they don't know what that is. And a lot of times they're often intimidated or confused or anything like that. But yet you still maintain just like, look, this is just who I am. And so many of the women that are on your radio program, I know they cover. And so 2 seconds, what is it like to you know, literally be out here with these sharks but still maintain such a high caliber of what I call womanhood? You know, you're really, really saying, okay, ain't going to be no whole bunch of cleavage, ain't going to be this, it's not going to be that. I see your children are laughing and joking and smiling just like mine and happy to be in these cultural homes. I remember when you were going through trying to find a head covering for while they're swimming, you know what I'm saying? So it's like your commitment and your dedication to be who you are, regardless of the environment, is awe-inspiring for me. How do you do that? How do you balance that?
It's going to take more than 2 seconds. But
look,
It was a journey. It was a journey. And I'm so glad you asked this question because being a hijabi, as it's called loosely, I was not always. So I was born and raised a hijabi. My mother in a very, very household of literally nothing but my face could be showing. And right? So I went through college and I actually took it off through corporate, to be honest with you. And my daughter wanted to wear, so she was 4 and 5 going to a Muslim school and initially because she spent 1 year at a Muslim school. And she said to me, she said, Mom, she said, I'm wearing my hijab. Why aren't you wearing yours? And it made stop out of the mouths of babes.
Yeah.
And my only reason was just what we're talking about today. I wasn't
Correct.
Grounded enough to who I was. I still felt that this was my own journey, right? Everyone has a journey with Everyone's story is different, and no shade to any is at any level, any facet of it, because I have sisters of all and there's levels of it in Islam with me.
Absolutely.
But I had to come to that level that I really didn't want to wear it because I didn't feel pretty in it. And it took me a minute to get to a level where now it's the exact opposite. I feel prettier wearing my hijab than I did before. My daughter's going through schools as I expected that they would. It was a fear. It was a real fear. But it's something that, for me, the hijab became a way for me actually to put that protection on for the sharks. Because when I did have it on, there was a certain respect that I didn't get. That once I started putting hijab on, automatically, now even as a businesswoman, doors were open different ways that they allowed me to feel more comfortable in my own skin.
Amen.
Really did.
Absolutely. How wonderful. And again, you're talking about the protections. Those you had certain protections by being who you really are, you know. Something I want to share with people also, we have to start creating our own understanding of things, you know. Back in our parents' age, back when Islam really came into everything, there were, you could be Christian or you could be Muslim. That was it. That was it. You had two options. Now, oh my goodness, there's so many options as to who you can be. And all I'm saying is be that consistently. Be who you are and understand that, you know, and I remember just speaking with my mother, I was like, look, speaking with Sister Faith this morning, I said, I'm trying to make a deep enough footprint so that others like me can follow. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to leave not just breadcrumbs. I want to make a path for you. Now, I can't drag you down a path. You know, this is your own.
Correct.
Everybody has their own choices. But I want to make sure that I have left enough of an imprint so that people, should you choose to walk on this path, there's an opportunity for you. So when you're dealing with sharks, understand you may be fighting this shark for yourself, or you may be teaching someone else in the background who's looking at you, who's learning from you how to deal with sharks. Don't underestimate your own journey. Don't underestimate who's watching you in your journey. So when you swim in, do you know how many times I've had to explain, hey, didn't you see me just do this? Yes, okay, well, how did you see me? What did I do? Tell me what you saw. Well, you did this. Well, that's the way to do it. That's one way to do it. And so when you are fighting, everybody got their own shark, and it's not far from you, I promise you. And it's not, I don't want to call it the devil, because a shark is just aggressive. It just may be uncomfortable. It doesn't have to mean it's the end of all times. It doesn't have to be that. It could just be aggressive. It could just be uncomfortable.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
You've got to know who you are.
They learn from us sometimes. Right?
Oh,
the sharks
don't
realize the sharks sometimes.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you this also. What I know about God, what I've seen with my eyes, is the bigger the fight, the bigger the reward. Okay? So just when you're sitting here thinking, like, Lord, this has got to be Jaws. This has got to be the mega shark, okay? This has got to be the biggest shark from all sharks, okay? Guess what? Understand that your blessing is going to come just like that. Just like that. So we have to stop thinking that just because we have to deal with a shark, that there's something wrong with that. No, no. This is life. Our life is full of sharks. But knowing how to deal with it is everything.
All right.
And we didn't
we wouldn't figure it out the easy way, did we?
No. And guess what? If you ever felt like you were just thrown into it, you might have been, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Those second generation children, if you just feel like you were just thrown, yeah, there you go. Go ahead and knock yourself out. But, you know, last question I want to ask you, if you were going to leave a word for some of our young swimmers, okay, just getting a good doggy paddle going, right? So how are you going to manage, how would you tell them to manage it?
Remember your foundations, those things that you did repetitively in the beginning stages of your life that gave you good outcomes, those morals, those good habits that we picked up, and pull back on them when you're in doubt. When you're not sure, right? You're not sure how to protect yourself. You're not sure how to respond. Pull back on those foundational things. I promise you, the instinctual response will come, but you have to remember your foundations. Where did you start?
That's right. That's right.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
I hope that was...
Well, look, this is why God said I needed you to come and share this with us and have these conversations and to understand how we can be our true humble, gentle, kind, loving selves still swimming and having to deal with these people, you know. So I appreciate you so much, Sister Khadija. And everybody, I want you to listen, you know, listen to the business networking, because they be making a way. The golden nuggets that come off of that program, sis, so very helpful. So absolutely. Thank you so much for your time.
I have to thank you for the opportunity under a wonderful approach. I did giving you just kind of a voice, right, to be able to express those things to people. Thank you so much, Mama.
Amen. Thank you so much. All right. Look, I want to answer that question, too, because, you know, you may not be, like, the strongest swimmer. And if you're on your doggy paddle, if you know you're doggy paddling, you're not doing well, you're not fighting your shark well, I'm going to tell you to stay close to the shore. There's nothing to prove by jumping out here and getting the biggest shark there is. No. Get your skills together. Stay close. You know, one thing about a wonderful approach, you're going to see the elephant, and you're going to see them baby elephants. I love them baby elephants. But where are them baby elephants? Under their mama. And trust me, you're not going to go through that mama to get to the baby. No. No. And so if you're just starting, it's okay for you to say, all right, look, I might need a mentor. If you're just starting, it's okay to be like, you know what? I need to call my fast buddy, and we're not even fasting. It's okay for you to say, look, we need to be in pairs, and or we need protection when dealing with our sharks. You know, I may not be jumping out there, you know. If you have a cut on your arm, I'm going to suggest that you not go swimming with the sharks. Because what does that blood do? Excite them. They're like, oh, food is nearby. All you people running around to some of these spiritual houses with your wallets open, throwing money around. Yeah, you. Sharks. And then I want to tell you also that that shark can be anybody. It can look like anybody. Fortunately, there are, just like when we were in the water, when me and Sister Nicole were in the water, we didn't know what was right there. We just knew we had some work to do, and work required us to stay focused, and that's what we were going to be doing. But we didn't know what that was. We didn't have time to examine, is this a dolphin? Is this a shark? Can we move a little closer to the shore? There wasn't any of that. So what I'm saying to you is that you may not be able to readily identify who in your life got that shark mentality, that got that aggression, that is being too assertive with you, with your surroundings, which is asking you to be less than. They either want you to be food or they want you to be another shark like them. And we have to be able to say no, neither. We have to be able to say, I'm a child of God. I don't identify as shark. And how do you know I don't identify as shark? I'm not going to move like them. I'm not going to snap like them. I'm not going to, you won't confuse any of my actions with shark behavior. That's how you'll know who's a shark and who's not. This is why we, God's children, have to make sure that we're skis. We have to make sure that at all times that light is being beamed off you. And so if you're caught up in that behavior is going to tell things that you probably don't want it. You know, we're healers. I remember last week we determined that we were going to be healers. Last week we determined that we were going to be the ones that could be counted on for wise counsel. We could be counted on for love and compassion. We could be counted on to have an encouraging word. That's who we said we're going to be, right? So we have to make sure that we're holding up to that standard. Family, this has been absolutely awesome, as I knew it would. When God put this in my heart, I said, we got to get to this. I'm so excited about it because we had to take the time to acknowledge the sharks in our life, because I promise you, every fourth person that you know, sharky, shark. So we have to work on how do we interact with them. And then, you know, real quick before prayer, I've had people be like, you know, well, Mama 7, they did wrong, they did this, they did that. And I always say, oh, wow, how many years have they been studying under a wonderful approach? How many years have they been with Mother Eagle Ministries? How many years? Oh, are they one of the Balewa children? Are all of them being a No. Oh, have they had this ceremony? Have they had this protection? No. And I'm like, okay, well, how are you expecting them to know how to act and know how to behave, know how to interact with you peacefully if they haven't been taught these skills directly? This is where, this is why we are inviting everyone out to our event next weekend. Because we do want more people to get the benefit of a wonderful approach. We want more people understanding and knowing how important it is to look for a wonderful approach. We want people to understand that there are benefits to being children of God in that shark, right? But in order for us to really be able to drill that point home, for them to really understand who we are, we have to be walking in this way our own self, right? We have to show them that shark behavior is only good for real sharks, not good for us, okay? So prayer is going to hold us together. When the storm gets rocky, when we're dealing with challenges, when we're having these real-life experiences, The prayer is going to hold us together, all right? And I'm telling you, that group prayer is something real, okay? So don't hesitate. You know, I know a couple of fast buddies still in contact. Guess what? Pray for each other. Pray with each other. Pray for each other. You know, let's see how far we can go when we're letting God be our focus in all things, and especially in how we're working with each other, even the sharks. right? So, moving into prayer. Father, Mother, God, we come before you humbly, joyfully, thankfully. We come before you full of love and gratitude. We come before you knowing that this is our job. This is what we do. We ask that you watch over us, watch over our children, watch over those that don't know. God, we're asking that you come into each and every person's life personally and with a blessing. God, we're asking you to shine light in some dark places so that we can move forward peacefully. God, we know that it is you that makes all things possible. We ask that you continue to keep us uplifted even in between our moments of prayer. God, we thank you for all the blessings that you have given to us now, in the future, and in the past. God, we ask that you continue to keep our mind straight, our mind positive, our mind strong, keep our spirit strong. God, we ask for a special healing blessing of our temples as we're working on understanding how to create healing within them. God, we ask that all those in need of prayer know to come to you, know to lay that burden down, know to be able to have an understanding and a personal relationship with you, God. We ask all these things and more, God, in your name. Amen.